Right now we're going to hear a documentary on the ongoing debate over the ban on women's ordination in the Roman Catholic Church. We'll hear from women who want to be priests, and from traditional church women who support the Pope, and from a bishop caught between both groups. This documentary was produced by Anne Bolin, who produced the film With Babies and Banners, and Celeste Wesson, who worked at NPR for 5 years as national editor and producer of Weekend All Things Considered.
The Power and the Spirit is funded by the District of Columbia Community Humanities Council, the District of Columbia Commission on the Arts and the Humanities, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through National Public Radio's Satellite Program Development Fund. It was produced by the Power and the Spirit Radio Project, which is solely responsible for its content.
We're seeing how a mighty wind sweeps the surging waters, Spirit moving where she will, birthing the light from darkness. Oh, Spirit moving, oh, Spirit moving, oh, Spirit moving, moving within your daughters.
The Power and the Spirit, the story of women who want to be priests in the Roman Catholic Church.
Telling a story never told, nations to justice leading. Oh, Spirit moving, oh, Spirit moving, oh, Spirit moving, moving within your daughters. Oh, Spirit moving, oh, Spirit moving, oh, Spirit moving, moving within your daughters.
I have the Master of Divinity. I have the Master of Sacred Theology. The only thing that's not there is that I happen to have the wrong body.
Several hundred women say they are called by God to be priests in the Roman Catholic Church. As priests, they could perform the central sacraments of the Church and would be part of the decision-making hierarchy. But the Church, unlike many Christian denominations, does not ordain women.
Ordination is the tip of the iceberg. If women are refused, that says something about the seriousness with which the Church takes women's role and leadership and experience at every single other level of the Church.
In the past decade, a Catholic women's movement has grown up, calling for many changes in the Church. It includes a network of alternative worship groups called Women Church, which recognizes Catholic women as priests.
I have never felt that because I can't be a priest that I've been excluded from the Church. The Holy Father has reiterated over and over they cannot. As a Catholic, that's all you need.
In response, another Catholic women's movement has started. Women who don't want the Church to change, who remain loyal to traditional teaching about women's role.
I always gathered my friends, whether they were Catholic or Protestant, for spiritual events. I was the one who organized the neighborhood, and we had May altars in one another's homes, processed up and down the street, adoring, gathered for funerals of dead animals. And those are some of my earliest memories of celebrating liturgies.
When Diane New was a little girl in Beech Grove, Indiana, she liked pretending that she was a priest. And she liked going to Holy Name Parish Church with her mother.
When I was 8 years old, in front of the altar of the Blessed Mother, wearing my peach dress and reddish-colored shoes, I remember vividly feeling that I was called to do something special in my life, that I'd be doing some kind of work that would be important to God.
10 years later, Diane New entered the Sisters of Providence. She didn't know then that she really wanted to be a priest, to lead the worship services, the liturgies she loved so much. Women served God by being mothers or nuns. For 2,000 years, only celibate men had ever been priests. It was one of the unbroken traditions of the Church. Then, in the early 1960s, Pope John XXIII called all the bishops to Rome for the first Vatican Council in 400 years. The goal of Vatican II? To bring the Church into the modern world. Rosalie Michelle Reinhardt was raising 4 children in Spencerport, New York, and teaching a religion class for children.
When Vatican II happened, I was one of those people who literally ran to the post office in the small town in which we lived to get the Catholic paper. I always said I read Xavier Ryan's letters when the print was still wet. What is going on?
The dispatches from Rome were electrifying. The church would not be set apart. It would be in the world, as Jesus was, working for the poor and oppressed. The Mass would be in the language people understood, not Latin. Sisters could wear street clothes instead of medieval habits. Women were allowed behind the communion rail, not just to change the altar linens, but to read during services. And the Council said the Holy Spirit worked through everyone in the church, not just priests and bishops. The changes frightened and disturbed some Catholics, but Rosalie Reinhart embraced the new church, and she wanted more. Even though the church had said nothing about ordaining women, she enrolled in 1968 in the Jesuit seminary in Chicago. She was the first woman to go there.
I sat in a class of seminarians for 2 weeks, and no one said hello. And I used to drive home and say, they're being trained to be priests, and they don't even say hello.
In seminary, Rosalie studied theology and church history. She discovered that many church thinkers had attitudes toward women which disturbed her deeply.
A funny thing happened to me in seminary. When I studied theology, I became a feminist. And the one image I have of myself, the hours that I would be in the library, weeping from the bottom of my feet. It is true, they hate us. One cannot read the early church fathers and come up with any conclusion, but they hate us.
In the early 1970s, Diane New was teaching at a convent high school run by the Order of Sisters she had joined. It was then she began to think about priesthood.
Early on, when I was teaching religion and when I was working with liturgy services, I began to realize that, in fact, I too was called, and I too had the gifts that were God-given gifts to celebrate the Mass, to celebrate the liturgy.
After Vatican II, sisters and lay people could help plan and even hold worship services, although it wasn't really a Mass unless a priest was there. Diane, as a nun, even led services with her students using the traditional symbols.
It was around the time of Easter, and I was actually using bread and grape juice, for them grape juice since they were freshmen, in a form of a prayer service. And the bell rang for the change of classes and nobody would move. And it was very clear that something sacred had happened in that room. And I went away from that class and said to myself, Diane, you know what's happening, and you better start taking it seriously.
What Diane did was enter a seminary to study for the priesthood. By the 1970s, dozens of women enrolled in seminaries each year, believing that priesthood for Catholic women was a possibility. The Episcopal Church had recently allowed women to be ordained, and there was a shortage of men who wanted to be Catholic priests.
Women in the church ought to seek ordination. They should seek it without bitterness.
In 1975, supporters of ordination for women held a conference in Detroit. No one thought that 1,200 people would come.
Because now ripens the time when they must say to the church words reminiscent of the words of Jesus Christ to his disciples, under the continued query for a revelation of his true reality. Have we been so long with you, and you have not known us?
When Margaret Farley, who's in ethics and teaches at Yale, ended her talk with, can we women say of the church, we have been so long with you, and you don't even know us? That broke open that conference, and the crying and the weeping was almost too much to bear.
Soon after, the Women's Ordination Conference opened their first office. They identified 500 women who said they were called to priesthood. Local groups started across the country. And in Rome, Pope Paul VI asked a committee of scholars to study the question of women priests. Then, in 1977, the Declaration. The Church would not break with tradition.
Father, you founded your Church on the apostles to stand firm forever. We join with the hosts of heaven in their triumphant song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Heaven and earth are full of...
Bishop James Malone heads the National Conference of Catholic Bishops.
The church position is that women are not to be ordained priests because priests are to image Christ Jesus, who was a male.
The Vatican Declaration said that the priest should be easy to recognize as a symbol of Christ and therefore must be male. The Declaration gave a second reason. Bishop Joseph Immisch chairs a panel writing a pastoral letter on women.
I think it has been church understanding that Jesus initiated priesthood and called the apostles to that work in the church. We believe that that was not something simply cultural or societal, but it was indeed the mind of Jesus that men would be called.
The declaration stunned the women who were hoping to be ordained. They thought the priest should represent Jesus' character, not his gender. They said they did not believe that Jesus, by appointing men as apostles, meant to exclude women priests forever. And they cited the importance of women in the early church, quoting a verse from Scripture, "Neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Then they turned a critical eye on the church that refused them. Madonna Kolbenschlag is a sister of the Humility of Mary. She teaches at the Woodstock Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C.
I think one of the things that is really holding the church back is sexuality. The way in which the church deals with issues that in any way touch sexuality, it just echoes the ancient teachings on women, you know, as sunk in their emotionality and in nature and not in control of themselves and therefore a danger to man and beast alike.
Diane knew.
The problem is that the men have the decision-making power in the church. And in order for a fresh life to come to the church right now, there must be a sharing of the decision-making powers with women and men together.
Rosemary Radford Ruther is a Catholic feminist theologian who teaches at a Methodist seminary in Illinois. She says that excluding women from equal power in the church is a sin.
Any kind of dehumanization of other people is a sin. And the sin gets worse if you set up an institutional structure that has as its very intent deprivation of people of fullness of life. The sin gets even bigger when you claim that that's the natural order of things that can't be changed, and it gets worst of all if you claim that God desires it.
A year after the declaration, in 1978, there was a new pope.
As we prepare to celebrate the mystery of Christ's law, let us acknowledge our failures and ask the Lord for pardon and strength.
Lord Jesus.
In 1979, Pope John Paul II came to the United States and visited six cities. In Washington, he spoke to a group of 2,000 nuns. The sister who greeted him was the head of the Sisters of Mercy, Teresa Kane, small, with a sweet round face and silver hair, wearing a business suit, not a habit. She was the only woman, except for the president's wife, who had a chance to address the Pope publicly. Millions of people saw her on television that night. She stood before him under the vaulted ceiling of the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception.
As I share this privileged moment with you, Your Holiness, I urge you to be mindful of the intense suffering and pain which is part of the life of many women in these United States. As women, we have heard the powerful messages of our church. Our contemplation leads us to state that the church, in its struggle to be faithful to its call for reverence and dignity for all persons, must respond by providing the possibility of women as persons being included in all ministries of our church.
The Pope did not respond to her unprecedented public confrontation. Later, he reaffirmed the ban on women priests. And since then, he has warned American bishops not to encourage women's ordination.
Had the bishops ordained us a long time ago, they probably would have been able to control us. But now, there is no way, because we are not women, we are feminists who want to be priests.
Women began to say they did not need approval from the church fathers to be priests. They said, They were priests already. The growing visibility of women who wanted to change the church inspired women who wanted it to stay the same. In the early 1980s, they began to organize.
Morning.
Helen Hull Hitchcock is raising three daughters in a comfortable house on a tree-lined St. Louis street. She's active in the parish and sends her kids to Catholic schools. A picture of her with the Pope sits in the front corner of the living room. She writes a column for a conservative Catholic weekly.
If the only information we got was from what we see on television, we would think that all Catholic women were desperately unhappy with the Catholic Church and felt that it was an oppressive patriarchal institution. Now, I knew, and obviously many other people knew, that this was not a just picture.
So when the bishops decided to write a pastoral letter on women in 1984, Helen helped start a new group. They called themselves Women for Faith and Family.
Half a dozen of us got together around my dining room table in there to discuss the possibility of circulating some kind of document which would explicitly affirm the teachings of the Catholic Church, and especially loyalty to Pope John Paul II, who was increasingly being criticized by the women whom you read about in the media.
Ask her, maybe she could write this letter or something similar to the bishops.
Every Thursday, Women for Faith and Family meet to open and answer the mail. Helen claims that 25,000 women have signed the petition.
Here's a really good letter. It says, Dear Madam, I'd like to add my signature to a list you are sending to the Pope. In case you're wondering, I'm 34, single, and a career woman, and also sick and tired of the ultra-liberal feminists who claim to represent me and say the majority of Catholic women want abortion, women priests, and heaven knows what else.
We know that women are quite capable of doing all of the things that an ordinary priest does. What they cannot do is to represent Christ to the people of God.
Helen supports the church position against women's ordination because she agrees with another church position. Men and women have equal but different roles in life.
Our sexuality very strongly relates to who we are as human beings, because women participate with God in His divine creativity by our ability to bear within our bodies a new human life. That makes a difference in the way we look at life.
Joan Donahue runs workshops to teach conservative Catholics how to get their views across in the church hierarchy. The Catholic Center, where she works in Washington, D.C., is an offshoot of Paul Weyrich's Committee for the Survival of a Free Congress. She says the women who want priesthood misinterpreted Vatican II.
Always reform is good. And yet what it was the opening for people who did not like some of the things about the Catholic Church to say, good, let's just change all these things and throw away all the old things and have all these new things. Well, what they did was throw away the baby with the bathwater.
Joan says that the basic truth of the church doesn't change, and that gives stability to her life.
That's why I'm so glad to be a Catholic. I don't have to search it through. I always ask my friends of different denominations, well, who do you go to if you have a conflict? Let's say you and your husband have a conflict over contraception. Who sets the final answer? Nobody does in those churches. I'm glad that God provided the vehicle so I can know, because it makes my life a lot more peaceful.
And she says that those who disagree with the Pope's teaching should consider leaving the church.
If you want to stay in the club, I think, you can't do what those people are doing. What they're saying is, we don't want to listen to what Rome says. We want to form our own opinions. But listen, we're in the Catholic Church still. And the reason they're doing it is because the Catholic Church has a lot of clout and a lot of credibility and money. What they want is the tag of Catholicism for the credibility without any of the responsibility.
The women who want to be priests have no desire to leave the church. They do not agree that Catholicism is like a club with rigid rules, and they defend their interpretation of Vatican II. Georgetown University's Madonna Kolbenschlag.
If we believe the theology of the church that we now have, then you can't help but come to the point where you say, this is my church too, and I will not let anyone take it away from me.
Some of the women who want the church to change have spent decades serving it as nuns. Others simply can't imagine not being Catholic.
I think people don't understand that just as I cannot say I am no longer a Russian, German, American, I also can never say I am not Catholic. I can't give that up, just as I can't give up my ethnicity.
Rosalie Reinhardt adds that she thinks it is her responsibility to change the church. She's a grandmother now, living in Rochester, New York, teaching high school girls at the Nazareth Academy. She's been active in the women's ordination movement for more than a decade.
One time when I was at a bishop's meeting, and it was like 7 o'clock at night, and this was a bishop that I knew, and he came out and he said, "Oh, are you still here?" And it was really a compassionate, "It's late at night." And I looked at him and I said, "Oh, Bishop, we're never going to go away. Just never."
For some women, the answer is Women Church. Still Catholic, but not official, rooted in the tradition, but trying hard to change it, Women Church is a few hundred groups of women and men meeting to worship with one another in living rooms like this one in the Midwest.
Oh, welcome, Kathy.
Perhaps two dozen women are crowded onto the sofa and the chairs brought in from the next room.
We're honored that you would choose us today. And what we celebrate is the marvelous fruit that you have borne. Isn't it wonderful?
It's a special occasion. Rosemary has brought her infant son for what would be a baptism if this were a traditional church.
I want very much for Eric to be welcomed into Woman Church.
Then Rosemary dips her finger in a small clay bowl of oil. She touches the oil to Eric's forehead.
Eric, my love, I anoint you and bless you. With your father, we have already given you the roots. I wish for you courage, because I think you're going to need it. And we will help you fly.
Eric is passed around the circle to every woman in the room.
Eric, sweetie, I anoint your eyes. May you grow as a person who is in love with God and in love with people. And may you be a joy to your mommy and daddy all the days of your life.
Eric Paul, I'm going to wish for you the gift of knowing that you are loved, because I know how one can turn into a wonderful human being when one knows that. And out of that, I promise to be your friend and to be intimate with you all the days of my life. And through that, I hope the wings that you will have are wisdom.
Welcome into Woman Church.
Although these women do not want to start a new church, they do want to create a new model for the church. They see themselves as prophets, a voice within the church pushing it to speak for the poor, to act for justice, to be a discipleship of equals, including women. That, they say, is the real message of Jesus. Women Church is still new. Most women's worship groups are only 4 or 5 years old, and the earliest began perhaps 10 years ago. So far, the church has taken no action against Women Church or feminist Catholic theologians, although other liberation theologians have been censured in the past. Mary Jo Weaver, professor of religious studies at Indiana University, says it is too early to tell whether the movement can remain part of Catholicism.
I think the early Christians certainly had no intention of becoming separate from Judaism, but little by little they found that they did. Martin Luther had no intention of becoming separate from Catholicism, but little by little he did. So you don't know where something like that would lead.
Mercy Sister Teresa Kane is more optimistic. She told members of the Women's Ordination Conference this fall that they had changed the agenda of the church leadership.
In Vatican circles, feminism was not spoken of even 5 years ago. I think it's extremely significant that feminism has become, as I understand it from several contacts in the Vatican, the most volatile issue in the Vatican.
And Georgetown University's Madonna Kolbenschlag says that the church has already felt the influence of the women who want to be priests.
The very act of women struggling to be ordained is part of something else that is also going on, which is a critique of the priesthood. And in fact, the ways in which women are coming together and ministering to each other is providing us with a new model for the priesthood.
Blessers, when I do the transition that has everyone extend our hands and bless this bread, blessing it in the name of every woman, I will then invite you to come up and just in silence, pick up your bread and pass it around the group. Any questions, bread blessers? Yes.
For the cornbread.
Yes.
There is no script. I think
I am recognized by the community of Women Church very definitely as a priest, as a leader of liturgy, as a pastoral woman. I'm certainly recognized at our local level by our own worshiping community. Here are the ideas. Cornbread. Cornbread represents the indigenous people of this country, the Native Americans. Mm-hmm. It represents the slave people. They ground the corn. This was
Diane New has left the Sisters of Providence. She lives near Washington, D.C., and she's writing a book of rituals for women. Part of her ministry, she says, is to revitalize the symbols of the church.
In some ways, I think the Roman Catholic Church has lost the richness of liturgy. And the real liturgical renewal is coming from the base communities in Latin America, coming from the feminist communities here in this country, because they are taking symbols seriously and are using the oil, the candles, the bread and wine that speak louder than any message that comes from words.
Moving within your daughters, moving within your daughters.
It is the last hour of a conference of women who want to be priests.
We are here to celebrate a liturgy of empowerment for ministry.
For a few days in a St. Louis hotel, it has been easy for these women to imagine being priests in their own church.
Oil is the symbol of the Spirit, a traditional symbol. We know it as the symbol of healing, the symbol of strength, the symbol of power. I invite you to take the oil, to bless it at your tables, to bless one another, to anoint one another that we may be strong.
And at each of 20 tables, 10 women take the oil and bless each other and send each other back out into the world.
I would like to, for us to bless that oils from the earth, that we may appreciate our use of it in our daily lives, and that we might be like Jesus, always wanting more and more and more.
I bless your cheeks, that you may always smile, your lips, that you may laugh when things are hard, your forehead, that you may think clearly, your feet, that you may walk firmly, and the whole of you, that you may in fact remember the power and the beauty, the gift of God that you are.
God is passionate life, strong and large in us, as we
The Power and the Spirit was produced by Anne Bolin and Celeste Wesson, narrated by Celeste Wesson, and mixed by Lorraine Wilcox. Music written and sung by Colleen Fulmer, flute played by Ellen Schimmel. Editorial consultants, America Rodriguez and Mike Schuster. For more information, please write The Power and the Spirit Radio Project, 1503 Crittenden Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20011.
The Power and the Spirit was funded by the District of Columbia Community Humanities Council, the District of Columbia Commission on the Arts and the Humanities, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through National Public Radio's Satellite Program Development Fund. It was produced by the Power and the Spirit Radio Project, which is solely responsible for its content.
If you'd like more information and you missed the address, let me give it to you again. It's the Power and Spirit Radio Project at 1503 Crittenden Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20011. And you heard that documentary on the debate over the ordination of women in the Catholic Church here on Fresh Air on WHYY-FM in Philadelphia.